that point, but it would have somewhat of effect on it.
Okay, any other questions for the chief? Chief, anything else you need to tell us about the fire truck?
That I can think of, no.
Okay, that's the first one, okay. Well, we're back up to number 10, which is fire department gym membership. You heard the explanation given about the chief's desire to have this membership, council's wishes in regard to this item.
I'm not saying you want to talk to him about that. What we talk?
Oh, the mandatory. They're going to make it mandatory.
I mean, keeping what he said.
That verbiage will need to come out to be good.
Come back up for a minute, Todd. Okay. Just go ahead and ask it, Caleb, on the verbiage.
All right. So one of the things that with policy and putting it in policy and making it mandatory, it puts, when we make it mandatory, it puts, like I said, it creates liability there. Physical fitness is kind of, yes, it's a job requirement. Yes, I want it to be one of those things, but it's also an individual thing. I don't know that if we're, or from my side of it, I'm not comfortable with the city, you know, taking on that liability where we make it mandatory. Because basically we say, hey, you would be at work when you're at the gym. And that would be that. I have a little heartburn with that, so I don't know if that's something I would like to see. Yes, there's motivation to, and with that sustainability program side of things, I'd like to see, yes, there's motivation. There is benefit to keeping yourself physically fit for your job, other than the mandate to do it. So, if that's something we could look at, that may be.
Now, were you wanting to mandate the gym?
Because in policy, you're going to be there.
No, policy was just exercising 1 hour a day.
Right.
Not at the.
So, but it gives them options to be able to do more than what we do if we. See what I'm saying? So, with what we have, what little equipment we have here, what little equipment we have over at the Civic Center, we're limited.
Right.
This is a whole other option that gives them a lot more flexibility in what they're doing that's more job related.
No. 100% support the what you're doing, how you want to do it, and the program is the liability side of being at the gym. You know, if you get injured at the gym, then it becomes a workers' comp issue. Because if we say, hey, you're going to spend 2 hours of the day or an hour a day on the clock at the gym, and we create an injury at the gym, it's a workman's comp issue. Whereas it wasn't, because we mandated it, made it part of the job. And that's.
But if we don't do something, then. Where do we pay? Do we pay more on the back end because we're getting injured on scenes places because we're not doing anything? Or do we try to cover it from the front end to where we help prevent these injuries on scene?
See, but we don't know that, first of all. We know that physical fitness is a requirement. Mm-hmm. We know that it is beneficial to every department, to every human being out there, especially in a high-intense, high-work environment like firemen have to be in. But to say that we're not doing anything now so that there's going to be preventable injuries in the future if we don't buy this gym membership, that's a little disingenuous to say, because there are physical trainings that you can do now. There are stuff that they are doing now. There are stuff that you can go to the gym for free now and do. There are options for firemen to pay their $15 membership and get the same thing that you're talking about. They've already been introduced to a lot of these, the workouts, the styles, the methods. We've talked about getting some different equipment. I didn't even know that y'all had some equipment in house. I didn't realize that either. I was a fireman in the Navy 6 years. I was at Sea Fire Party, Import Fire Party. We had a very limited gym space. You can imagine, it's on a ship, you know. But we knew the requirements. We did what we could with what we had. Again, I think, you know, it's pretty clear cut. We expect physical excellence as much as possible within our different departments. And we give them time to do it. There's trainings to do it. There's resources to do it without necessarily the city buying a gym membership. That's my stance on it, but that's all I'm going to address on that. But I wouldn't say that if we don't buy gym membership, you're going to have people unduly falling out on workers' comp issues than they would otherwise.
And I'm okay with an LOD, a line of duty injury, is one thing. But like I said, that mandate creates, even in the military, you know, your physical fitness is key. You're tested on it. You're expected to maintain the standard. If you get hurt in the gym, it's not a line of duty injury. You know, VA's not going to come in because you dropped a 45-pound weight on your foot and give you a rating because you were at the gym when that injury happened. Yes, by all means, you go, you know, you're doing your job, and an injury occurs, that's one thing. But like I said, the gym, but when we mandate it, when we say, hey, that you're going to do this, either in policy or, you know, by rule, hey, you're going to do this on the clock, then that liability, I'm not willing to put the city at risk.
You're saying for them not to go to the gym on the clock?
How they spend their time is one thing, but like I said, if we mandate physical fitness, if we mandate it, then we have said that it is part of your job description. Your daily duty assignments is to go to the gym and work out. Then it becomes a line of duty injury should they pull something, drop a weight on their foot, something like that. And that's where I have an issue. That's the liability I'm not ready to put the city at, because, like I said, even in the military, it's not a line of duty injury if you get hurt in the gym. And no other career expects physical fitness to that standard outside of the military. So that's where I would like to see the sustainability program where, yes, there is, you know, your career advancement is assisted by your physical fitness. Not limited by it, but assisted by it. If you're doing an annual fitness, physical fitness test and you pass, then, hey, there's 5 promotion points towards, you know, if you're failing it, then, hey, we're looking at remediation and what can we do, and you don't get 5 points, you've got 5 points less than the guy that's applying for the same job that can pass his PT test. Those things versus, hey, you're going to go to the gym X amount of time at work on the clock, and you're on duty when that happens. So
and I'm trying to figure out where the mandate's coming in at.
Well, you said that in policy.
The policy states that they have an hour to be able to go to the gym.
Okay.
It's their choice.
Okay.
Right.
I think what Councilman Fizell has said makes a lot of sense. There's a certain physical attribute required to do this job when you're hired. And I'm not saying this might be something useful, whatever, but to say that if it's not carried out, that's causing problems. I believe going into this profession, you know what's required, and some of these things could, if you're not physically fit, could cause you not to have the job. You know, even coming forward, a simple thing, and look, a CDL, the requirements for it are very, look, they're the least of anything. You know, if you can barely see across this room, you get a CDL. I'm not comparing it to what firefighters have to do with, but in every job, there's certain requirements. If you can't meet them, you might not can do that job. So, I don't know.
Well, I have a question, Mayor. Just ask a question again, and I'm all for physical fitness. But can we buy some equipment to go down to the civic center? Can we buy some of this equipment so I can use it down to the civic center with fire tax? We can't use fire tax?
No, not for it to go to the civic center.
Yeah. Okay. Get back. Thank you.
Okay, anything else for the chief on the gym membership, okay? But we need to go ahead and vote on that.
I don't know that we necessarily have to vote, but...
Does there need to be a vote on it?
Do we have to vote?
I mean, only if there's a vote.
Do you want to vote yes or no? He needs to know something.
Or table it?
We can... I think there's too many questions in the moment. We could table it.
And that's fine. Okay, we have a motion second to table this. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. Fire truck.
I think that if you need one, but that's a lot of questions, a long way to go to get it. I wish we could find one closer, but I don't know what y'all think about it. There's a long way to go to New York to get a fire truck, but if we get one closer, but like you said, this truck's better than he found others, but I'm just saying that's a long way to go, and I'm all for getting him a truck with what he needs.
Well, it is low mileage, and he's telling us that he needs a fire truck. The other one that he has now is not meeting his needs. So, I mean, you know, what? If we need a truck and we have a fire in Piedmont, I'd like to have one on board to help.
Can we use fire tax to buy this?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
we bought the last one.
The $77,000 in LJ compared, I don't know, what are the expenses to get? I'm sure they're not $20,000, but it may be $10,000 expense just to get that truck to Piedmont. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's cheaper to buy.
I'm not saying we've got to get that truck. I use that as an example.
He just wants some money to be given to buy a truck.
I'm just saying, asking you that if we can get...
He's wanting a pot of money to be used to
if he
be
finds
able
something.
To get a truck.
To where we can, I can go in and make an offer somewhere, right, to shorten the time, because what we're going to run into is we're going to be coming into this every 2 weeks. If we keep doing the same process,
so
because they're going to keep selling just as soon as they show up.
To have the ability to make the offer, it would still come to the council to approve that. So I really don't see anything. This is me speaking out loud, okay? Whether I'm right or wrong, I don't see anything wrong with you having the ability to make that. But it could still be terminated if it didn't approve of the council.
Is when I brought it up. The last council meeting, like I said, it's all 2 days later. I'd already talked to the chief and was lining up going up there to see, right? Somebody come in with a check and said, hey, we want to buy this truck. So that's the issue that we're running into.
We're going to continually keep
running into that issue.
Do they have anything in ARAB?
In ARAB? Brindley Mountain?
Yeah.
They do. I looked at one and it was $60,000. The siren on the front's held on with a bungee cord. It's missing parts off the truck.
I saw that name the first time, I was...
Yeah. So they have some. I've not went up to the lot to see what they have on the lot. But our issue is the amount that we're, you know, that I'm comfortable spending is somewhere in that ballpark of 50. If we went to LJ, it's a lot closer. But that's taking me out of my comfort zone to be able to spend that of what we have in the bank of fire trucks, right? And I'm trying not to get that far past. We have to.
And Chief, you were looking at that pot of money, $50,000?
Somewhere in that neighborhood, yes.
Okay. And
what would be your, like, I'm not going over this much.
That $70,000 to $75,000 is going to be where I would have to draw that line, because at that point, if we're sitting somewhere in the 200 range right now, I don't want to drop below that 100, and that's going to put us right there at it. And we could. It takes flexibility out, right?
So 65.
I might have a question, Mayor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we approve him try to look for a fire truck and bring that to us?
Well,
he's not wanting to look. He's wanting to be able to buy.
Yeah,
finds a deal.
I think he's needing a pot of money so that when he runs into this deal, we have approved. Let's just say $50,000 or $60,000. He can go ahead and get that truck.
How much do we want to approve?
Well, that's what we have to do right now.
I move we allow him a maximum of $65,000, no greater than $65,000 monies set aside and pre-approved for him to purchase a fire truck.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve $65,000. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Chief, this is with the end goal of trying to get a newer one with grant money at some point.
Correct. Okay. This is to stop gap. Is what I'm looking at. Because you look now, most of your brand new trucks, if you buy one, it's going to take 2 years to build up.
Right.
And then the grant takes about a year. So we're trying to, you know, and you're looking at 3 years before it's ever sitting here. So if I can get us 5 years, that gives us time to pay for grants.
Right. And this gives you more flexibility, I assume, because a local fire department can literally just write a check out of their fire tax versus you come on board and go to the state.
Correct. They would make a phone call to the seven that you have and say, hey,
We may be coming back with you, Chief, about something else, but we'll talk among ourselves first. Okay, police report. Chief?
Due to training, I wasn't able to get all my stats together before this meeting, so it'll be March 4th.
Okay, all right, okay.
Excellent timing.
And we already got all the fire information, so visitors' comments?
Yes, Vicky Rock. Yes, Vicky Rock.
Vicky Rock. This is the Facebook thing, I hope she still is.
Good evening, y'all.
Good evening.
I'm here more for a bit of clarification with the last council meeting. I think it's only the second one I've been to, and I appreciate Vice Radio, their articles. That's how I keep up. The last one, when Corey Horton spoke, there's a couple things that weren't correct, in my opinion. The one I'll start with is the fuel surcharge that he said was not added to the customers' bills in December and January. I got my two bills here, they were added. And I have a few people here that it was added on theirs and spoke with others. So I don't know where that came from, but that was incorrect.
Can we address that issue there? I think there's a misunderstanding. When you say incorrect, there's a misunderstanding
And
what he was talking about as far as any, it wasn't pertaining, the rates were not pertaining to anything that's already out there. We were talking about future rates as they may go up and not implementing them at this point. So any rate that's on the bill now was not talked about at the last meeting.
So what we're saying is you had a fuel surcharge, yes, that has been there. That fuel surcharge has since increased, but we have not passed that increase down to you as
of yet. Okay, let me just read this statement then, Horton said the fuel surcharge was not added to the customers' bills in December and January due to the already high bills caused by the extreme cold weather we had experienced.
Right.
Horton said these were some of the highest bills yet. And again, I mean, makes sense.
We were speaking of a $600,000 to $800,000 cost that's going to have to come into effect.
Right.
It
wasn't added.
We're not going to adjust anything at this moment.
It was already there. If you go back and you look at your November and October.
Oh, yeah, I've got December and that, because I'm one of them people that the 20th of every month, it don't matter if it's a weekend, a holiday, right. I take a picture of my meter and I know about what my bill will be, give or take a few dollars. It ain't always that same day. And then when I get the bill, I do the figure in, because again, I think we've all been expecting a raise and thankful we haven't gotten it. But that's how I know that there hasn't been one. He also stated the rates were last increased by 19% on November 1st, 2023.
And that was wrong, Vicki.
Yes, that's again.
It was the November before that.
No, that's, she said it right, November 23.
Oh, 23, yes.
Well, in October, that went up 3%, and then it went back down November.
Mm-hmm. To 2%.
To 2%. Because right now, and I did ask, like November 2023, because where it's a kilowatt time, the 0.11550, that was reduced back to the 0.10550. And when I had asked at the utility company back in November 2023, they said, you know, how come that had not went down when it, in actuality, the bills are multiplied by 0.10550, not the 11550. And I was told that it was going to cost the city a few hundred dollars to change it. I'm like, well, save that money then. I don't know what to do. I'm not worried about that number. And the fuel surcharge is 0.02, so it's 2%. And I guess I'm confused. So the 19, where did that come from? Because we're actually paying 2% fuel surcharge, and that's the only thing that's been on the bill, because the 0.10550 went back to that November 2023. Am I making sense? I mean, so where is the 19? Because that's a lot. We're paying right now 0.02% on the fuel surcharge extra.
I think the 2 cent fuel surcharge ended up being 19% increase on your power, increased your power bill 19%.
No, sir.
Okay.
I mean, I think
that's right. But that's the only, that's the only increase that we've had until.
It was 1.9 and we went to 2.
It was 2, because I multiply and it'll equal the same amount that my bill is when I get it. Like I said, I do a pre thing, but then when I get my bill, I do the math. And it's it's the electric, the kilowatt times the 0.10550 plus the 25 times 4%, then you add that to that. That's the electric charge. Then I do the 0.02. Now don't let me stand here and talk and make y'all raise it. I may not get out of Piedmont alive. But then I'll do the 0.02 against the kilowatts for the fuel surcharge. And that's what we've been paying since November 2023.
So how much did you go up in November 2023?
It went down. Y'all raised it in October 2023.
But you had to go up 2%, but you went up 2 cents. How much was your increase on that 2 cents? Because you got added a 2 cent fuel surcharge to your bill, so your bill went up for 2 cents. So how much was that?
That's what I just said. The electric fuel surcharge is 0.02.
But what was the percentage of increase over your bill after you got the
fuel? It depends on what kilowatt I use.
But that's supposed to be what the 19% is.
The 19 would be going 0.19 times the fuel surcharge and times the kilowatt for the fuel surcharge instead of 0.02.
I tell you what, just call us tomorrow and we'll get you, we'll get Corey to explain it to you.
And again, I'm going based on what this is, and it just, we just need a clarification. And then I know the other one said, my phone's just froze on me, said 0.002 would be with the next one, which I like that number, but I mean, I don't see that either.
No, it's been, only increase on your power bill has been the 2 cent fuel surcharge from 11 of 23.
There you go.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. And in the future, that's why it was confusing to me. And I come in for some clarification, and then the update on that said the fuel surcharge will not be passed along. Thankfully, that would Now I understand that was a raise y'all were talking of doing in addition to what we're doing now. Until the next rate adjustment, and then it will only be 0.002. Is that right either?
That's false information too.
So what was said was a whole lot of inaccuracy, and so it's got to be clear.
Well, we had some wrong information, Vicki, to begin with. And we talked with the radio station very graciously, listened to us and said, let me fix any issue. And he did an update.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now, the update.
Right.
Because I had both the initial one, because that was, had mentioned the .03. The update didn't have that. And what I'm looking at now is the updated article. And that's the one that mentioned the 19% increase November 1st, 2023. It was 2%.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And then it also says on the last paragraph that the next rate adjustment will be 0.002. And that's what I'm looking at, the updated article. So, like I said, it didn't match, it didn't make sense. And when I'm doing my bill, what I'm doing is matching what the bill amount is, so something went right somewhere. So I don't know, you know, just the numbers weren't matching, so that's what I'm here. I mean, I'm glad we don't have an increase, but it just make sure that it matches, maybe.
Sure.
Probably coming. It's probably coming soon.
I don't know how we're going to be able to afford it. I know some people, a one-bedroom apartment, just the power, was $300. And that's crazy. I know someone that has a house, and their fuel surcharge was over $100. It's crazy. It really is. But, I mean, thank you. Maybe that can be clarified.
We can.
Because that's the main reason I'm like it. Like I said, I read the articles that pretty much don't come in, but I'm like, okay, this don't make no sense.
And, Vicki, we appreciate you coming, asking questions. And you and I have spoken before. I know we're Facebook friends, and I appreciate your approach to things. You always do it the right way.
Well, I try.
You do. You do a good job.
We'll
get you some information.
Thank you.
Thank you. You got me on Facebook.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
Peter Levitt.
Hey, Peter.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Peter Levitt, a.k.a. Peter the Patriot. So, I just got some questions. You know, I've been just taking my own notes, you know, listening to everything, researching my own. And just in relation to the taxation with what she was talking about in the surcharges and things, is this what the city depends on as their only revenue?
No.
Looking at all the categories of your projected revenue and most revenue coming in, what would be the most?
Utilities and sales tax. Business license, that's our main monies.
With the electrical surcharges and stuff underneath that utility?
Yeah.
The surcharges are not any type of profit of any kind. They are direct dollar for dollar, like the fuel surcharge. We get charged, two cents a kilowatt fuel surcharge? That's what we get charged. So that is a break even zero. The city doesn't make any income off of that. Any of the surcharges, anything like that, is a dollar for dollar. We actually have to pay somebody else that.
Is that with the AMEA? Mm-hmm. Is that who that goes to?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure they pay it to somebody else because it's Alabama Power. It's probably who's getting directly getting that.
So, like on the bill, then, if the electrical fuel surcharge, that doesn't necessarily go to the city, that's what you're saying would go to?
Yeah, we don't see that goes directly. That is, that charge is passed on to us, which is passed on down to you to then turn around. We receive the money and then we pay AMEA, who then pays whoever they owe.
Okay.
On that.
Who has, like, the authority to raise that or lower
the
utilities, utility supervisor?
And that'd be Corey Horton of Southside. Mm-hmm. All right. So, I guess my question is, like, why doesn't the city look into other ways of, like, you know, revenue? You know, talking about, you know, just even not to bring up the restaurant again, but to bring it up, you know, money going towards that. And then other restaurants and things. Why doesn't other people come in here, like, you know, Walmart? Something that would, you know, support more along the lines of Reaganomics, which is simple. Reaganomics, in a nutshell, is bringing in more businesses without necessarily raising more revenue. Yeah. I mean, raising taxes, because you're increasing your national revenue.
And Peter, I can tell you, it's been a number of years ago, but we actually, I didn't make the trip, but the mayor back then, Ms. Stewart, Vera Stewart, and a council member too, actually went out to Arkansas and actually talked with personnel from Walmart, trying to get them to come to Piedmont. And believe it or not, the final result was 60% of the checks written at Jacksonville Walmart was from Piedmont customers. Walmart said, why should we build a Walmart in Piedmont when the citizens are willing to go to Jacksonville? So we didn't look up, you know, getting a Walmart, and I'd love to have one. We go ahead.
One of the things that actually hurts us for business is when we did the last census that came through, the city of Piedmont actually dropped a urban status. We actually dropped down to a rural status. So when we look at places like Walmart or bigger industries or that stuff, they look at our population and say, I have no workforce. One of the things that really, and we have talked about it, we really feel too that our census for our area may not have been completely accurate. Because if we look at our utilities and we look at the number of people that we have that pay utilities and our access to our grid, it doesn't match what the Census Bureau said that we had. Not to point fingers or take that off, but that is on the citizens of Piedmont, okay? We didn't help ourselves. We lost federal funding, got cut, because we're a rural area now. Our COVID funds, we actually saw a decrease in COVID funds on the second round because we had lost that urban status and had gone into a rural status, and we had a smaller population. And that's one of the things that hurts us when they do their economic studies. But businesses are going to do big economic studies before they ever step foot in Alabama. And if they're looking for here and they come in and see that our population is the size that it's reported as, they're going to be, I have no employees. They look at the employability of that area. So the number of people that already have jobs, the number of people that are on disability, that are unemployable, you look at that and then you average that with what your total population is, and we actually have a very high employment rate in this area for the small population that we have. So there's not available workforce for bigger companies when they look at us, and it hurts.
I'd also say this though too, you know, when you mentioned Reaganomics, you know, part of that is incentivizing people to come here, right? Yep. Incentivizing businesses to grow here. And there's not much more incentive that a city can make is in, if you look at the cost of doing business in Piedmont is much less than any other city around here. The cost of the cost of utilities, the cost of housing, of property, for someone to buy or rent a house. All this weighs into a factor when it comes to people willing to invest in Piedmont, and we just have another one coming into the industrial park, right? That we're excited about. In fact, they're wanting to expand, and they're wanting to buy more property from us to expand. But that's another point that we had a little point of contention on how much you charge for that. Because on one hand, you want to roll out the welcome mat, right? You want these businesses to come here. There's nobody busting our doors down to come. On the other hand, you want to do the citizens a fair market value of the land. So I think those are things we all weigh, and I think it's still the cheapest place to be is Piedmont when it comes to opening a business. So.
And Peter, one thing that's hurt us certainly is lack of interstate. Reaching out to people, businesses, they do ask about interstate accessibility. We don't have that. We have good highways leading to interstate, but we don't have the interstate. That's hurt us.
Okay. In relation to like the minutes and like the agendas and things, is that something that you, Mr. Clerk, could have more so more copies available, what the councilmen have more copies here? you know, like the actual minutes and agenda papers that you were looking at to have more available to the public for the next?
Well, we spoke with our city attorney, and I think I sent you an email, or Patty sent you an email that said, he said, we can give you the packet tomorrow after it's approved. And that tomorrow's, yeah, whoever wants one, just let us know and we'll come get one.
Well, is that something you can just have available here?
Well, no, we would have to approve it.
I said not approved.
We have to vote on it. So it's not a public record document until the city council has voted on it and approved it.
But once you vote on it and approve it, you can just have some copies available. Just to have on record. Or you're saying, like, after that moment, they would be available to the public?
We'll have them tomorrow. I mean, we'll email you one tomorrow if you want one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't see a problem. We could actually put the agenda copy.
He's got that.
Okay. Yeah. If anybody else needed one, yeah, we could have some on the back table.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Well, the one that I would have would be from January 21st.
Well, you'd have the current one, just the agenda. I mean, you would if you okay. wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, so just some verbiage and things I just want to clarify. Looking at, like, the statement of expenditure budget versus actual report, this would be from for the accounting period of December of last year. I know you probably don't have this paper sitting in front of you that I'm looking at because it was the old one, but just to ask some clarifying questions where, because if you have like these papers, it should be the same, I guess, at the top where it says committed current month, and then you have the account in all those budgets, and then you have committed year to date. And then you have the original appropriation, then the current appropriation, and available appropriation. The available appropriation number, is that what's projected? Like, this is what is needed for this department to have on a yearly basis. Is that what that number is?
Are you in revenue or are you in expenditures?
This would be the expenditures, yes. Excuse me. Statement of expenditure, budget versus actual report.
From my understanding of this, your original appropriation is what you planned on at the beginning of the year. Your current appropriation is what you've actually done.
Spent. Yeah.
And then available is what's left over.
Okay.
So you should be able to take your original, subtract your current, and that's going to be, should give you your available.
And then that's like, is that number what's needed like per year for like this to stay open? Like this
original appropriation is going to be what was allotted.
Okay.
That, hey, you've got this much money to operate for this year. Now, whether it takes that, who knows?
Yep.
You know, there's, like with Chief Kirkland, if he didn't have to buy a fire truck this year, then that'd be $60,000 back in his budget that we didn't expect the fire truck, you know, the engine to blow up in that truck. So, and that's one of the things that's very tough in a municipality the size of Piedmont. We talk about budgets and we talk about planning and we do those things. We're a city where if we lose a fire truck, that's a huge investment that we've got to figure out where it's going to come from. We don't have that sitting around. You know, we had a sewage pump station go bad. We had our lagoon that failed inspection we had to make emergency repairs on. Those are things that you don't plan for. You do your best, but nobody's planning. Oh well, hey, next year we're gonna fix the we gotta fix the lagoon, and we gotta spend $250,000 to do that. It's hey, that's why we operate in actuals and those things. It's because we're not sitting here at the end of the year with all right, we've got $500,000 in the bank that we didn't have accounted for because revenue was up so much. No, we're sitting here. It's a lot of it is, hey, where are we going to come up with this $500,000 that we've got to spend to keep the wheels rolling on what we're doing?
If you have a storm, you could have to go through replace transformers. Those are a
right.
big ticket item, so you could quickly deplete whatever reserve you may have.
So that available appropriation you sent to me, this is your like budget. Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate you. Addressing the council.
Thank you, sir.
Chief, anybody else?
That's it.
That's it, okay. We will move on to council reports, District 1.
No.
Okay, District 3. Let me back up. But District 2, Richard is out with the flu. So we talked to him today, and he's sick as a dog. So I'm glad he's not here. So we don't need to get contaminated. I think he's already talked with the doctor about his condition. So Carlos, get him feeling better, okay? District 3.
No report.
Okay, District 4.
Good.
District 5.
We got this budget coming up with 600 during this period. We also know we got to spend $600,000 to $800,000 on this transfer. I think that needs to be a big topic of this budget, and some of that we spoke as Corey was talking, you know, making available, making sure we had that money. I've mentioned it before, and I don't know if there may not be any agreement still, but I think it would be wise to limit the amount of transfer from our utility department to Piedmont so we can better understand what it takes to operate and save that money for the repairs that need to be made in the electrical department. And I'm not going to beat a dead horse. I just want to clarify in my mind, the property that we're renting out at the park, you say it's not under contract, or it is under contract?
Pretty much verbal right now.
And the statement was made that they're already putting floors, they pay for the floors?
The plan is to put new flooring down, painting the inside, and they've also done some other things.
So they haven't actually done these jobs?
Right. No, not yet. Not the floor or the painting.
Okay. And I'll just state, it's in my opinion that we would be best served if we called an ending point somewhere in this project, so we'll know where we stand and how much to lease or rent this property for, without, so it won't be so, the ambiguity of it wouldn't be unclear. So I would like to see us have an end goal to finish that. And two, in the future, I know I did not mean any disrespect to the mayor. I have no issues with the mayor. He's a good man. I feel like he does a job with respect. That's not my point, or the clerk. You too, Bubba. I'm not saying anything bad about you, but I do feel like it's much clearer to have some form of, I don't know if it's a board or some other means of determining how we rent out properties. It's too ambiguous. You don't know where we're going when it's controlled by two people. And I feel that we would be better served for the city to do something different in those means. Okay. And I guess that's it. Okay.
District 6?
All right. Thanks to Jeff Formby and his team, we were able to put together all the cost data to do the upgrades and the parts that we're applying for the Lowe's Home Improvement Grant. We come up with approximately $161,000 on our wish list. We know that some of that is a wish list, may not happen, but that has been submitted. And one thing different than the previous years, Lowe's has notified us that the next phase participants will be notified by March 7th. So by then we'll know if we're in it or not. And then the final awards will not be announced till late June. But so we did some things different this time than we did in the previous attempts. So everybody keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully it'll pay off on that. So
we appreciate your hard work on that, David.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Yes, sir.
All right, District 7.
No report.
Okay, Mr. City Clerk.
I've just got one thing. If you've noticed around town, the trail's being paved. And I think they made it up to, I guess, right past the Welcome Center today. So they're steadily moving to be there in the morning.
Probably not.
Can I ask a
unless
question?
Unless it's until it warms up.
As they're paving, the parts they've already paved, are they finished? Or no, are they,
they'll come back and do
they're going to come back
they'll
and
come
put
back
this,
and do this.
Because I've had people to bring that to my attention. Yeah. I told them that they were not finished.
They're hitting the home runs first, and then they'll come back and do the short stuff.
So everybody was concerned about falling off the trail, you know. I thought I was right by saying that they would finish that.
Bring rock in, I guess, and line it on both sides.
Well, they'll crown it.
Good deal. Sorry to interrupt, but you spoke of the trail.
Somebody spoke of that today, Greg. I think Tommy Allison told her that some people were questioning it. That's it, Mayor.
Okay. Just a few things. Congratulations to the Spring Garden girls basketball. They won today, so they will be in the semifinals. And congratulations to the Piedmont boys and girls. They did get beat today, so unfortunately they're not going to advance, but they had a great season, and we're proud of our Bulldogs, both boys and girls. Also want to let you know that I made contact. Councilman Kaiser and I was talking about this Cleveland County Animal Shelter that's nearing completion. I reached out to the Cleveland County Commissioner Emmett Owen to see if there was any way possible that Piedmont could contract with him so that we could place our animals at the shelter. Unfortunately, I did not have any luck. He said that their shelter is probably only going to hold about 50 dogs, and he said it would just be a matter of weeks before his county fills up that shelter. So we continue to look. I know the police chief and I have had some contact with the media and expressed our feelings and needs about the county helping with the shelter, and nothing against the county. They're doing the best they can. They got a full shelter too, but we need some help. And that's how we express that to the media. You know, we got stray dogs here. We need to find a home for them. And hopefully we can continue to work with our county commission to either expand or come up with another plan. But we will continue to search other avenues. Cleveland County will not work with us at this point. But we will continue to contact other cities that have shelters. I've already contacted most of them, but I will go back again and go through that list of shelters and see if maybe something has changed. So right now, bear with us. We can't do anything about our strays that are not aggressive, but if we do have an aggressive dog, the police department will work with the caller and try to deal with that situation. So we'll see what happens. But that's pretty much all I have. I do appreciate y'all being here. Another long meeting. A lot of good points expressed tonight. Nobody's mad at anybody. We can walk out of here and still be friends. May not always agree, but that's all right. And but anyway, do I hear a motion to adjourn? Okay, Mr. Kaiser, I hear a second.
I guess make a motion.
Okay, got a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all for coming.